All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to read a lot of scripture and then tell you some things, and then we'll pray over what we're going to do next. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is good. I'm just looking around at all of you today. Just taking time to look around at you. Glory to God. God's got good things for you. Be happy. Thank you, Jesus. This is verse 1. Praise God. 19 years. We were trying to quit after the second month. But then Gladys and Eldred came and we got happy. I can remember we had meetings in their house. We sat on stools at the bar. Ron and Pauline were there, and Bill and Gay. And we've met a lot of people in this area. Some people have moved away. Some people left us because they wanted to. Okay, I haven't ever figured that out, but praise the Lord. But, you know, we just have a revolving door. Amen. But no matter who's come and gone, we sowed the seed. We've sowed the seed. And so you just continue to love and move forward. Amen. So here we go. One day Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people, Israel. Now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I've decided to settle accounts. He that hath an ear, let him hear. With the nation of Amalek, for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt." So he's settling accounts. "Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys." So Saul mobilized his army at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. So there's a lot of people going. They mobilized. You got that? Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and lay wait in the valley. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites. This is so Jewish right here. He sends warning: move away from where the Amalekites live, or you're going to die. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites left. So, you know, do you know that Israel does that today? They've dropped pamphlets everywhere if they're going to have to do something. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So, verse 7, "Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalek king, but completely destroyed everyone else, and Saul and his men spared Agag's life." "And kept the best of the sheep, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs everywhere. In fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality." Verse 10, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command.' Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to town, the town of Carmel, to set up a monument to himself. Then he went on to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. 'May the Lord bless you,' he said. 'I have carried out the Lord's command.'" Interesting. "Then what is all the bleating sheep and goats and the lowing of the cattle I hear?" Samuel demanded. "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle," Saul admitted, but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night." "What did he tell you, Saul?" "What did he tell you?" Saul asked. And Samuel told him, "Although you may think little of yourself. You are not the leader of the tribes of Israel. The Lord has anointed you. Are you not the... I'm sorry, I'm going too fast. Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners of the Amalekites until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why didn't you rush for... Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, plunder, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord, to God in Gilgal. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering of the fat rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. Now that sounds familiar. The blame game. I better keep my votes, or I better keep my career, or I better keep my popularity. Okay, just saying. Now, please forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Since you've rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind. For he is not a human that he should change his mind. So the transition has begun. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Verse 30, then Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned, but please at least honor me before the elders of the people and before by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him, and Saul worshiped the Lord. So there's a little mercy going on right there. Verse 12, then Samuel said, bring King Agag to me. Agag arrived full of hope, for he thought, surely the worst is over and I have been spared. But Samuel, as you said, as your sword has killed the sons of many mothers, now your mother will be childless. And Samuel cut Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. I guess this is rated PG, isn't it? Then Samuel went home to Ramah, and Saul returned to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Samuel never went to meet Saul again, but he... Did you hear that? He didn't go fellowship with him after that. But he mourned constantly for him, so he kept praying. He did pray for him. But he didn't go entangle himself after that. You can love someone without entangling yourself in their stuff. Amen. And the Lord was sorry he had ever made Saul king of Israel. Now, so this morning, real quickly, like in about 10 minutes or less, I am going to talk to you about 7 things that guarantee your success in every area. This is called How to Win and Not Lose. So number one, don't be a Saul. Don't be a Saul. Don't do what you think is best. So many times we're walking with God and we get a plan, and then after we get the plan, we start rationalizing. You start rationalizing instead of asking for the steps. Well, okay, God told me to do this, so how could I do it? Well, we could borrow some money, we could do this, we could do that, or this has happened, so I'm going to go do this. How about just praying right there and saying, okay, I'll do this. What's next? Well, I see that's popular. I'm trying to tell you how to win and not lose. Praise the Lord. Take it or not. So, you know, it probably didn't seem like what you would choose to do, to call yourself the father of a nation knowing that you were barren. And it probably didn't seem like the thing to do to give your last cake to the preacher. And it probably didn't seem like what to do when you had a two-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's to try to feed 5,000 people. I know that's what that kid's name was, Long John. Stank. Praise the Lord. So, you know, all I'm trying to tell you is there are good ideas, but there are God ideas. And if you go with God ideas, you're going to be blessed. Number two, get rid of fear. Get number one, obey God. Just obey God. You'll be all right if you obey God. I was thinking, I'll get down on that in a minute. Fear is faith perverted, is it? The devil answers fear like God answers faith. And so God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So there's a way that you can overcome fear. And you'll find it over in 1 John 4, where the Bible says God is love. And it says there is no fear in love. And it says perfect love, not meaning you're perfect, meaning that God, who is love, is perfect, and you receive it, that fear will be cast away from you. And this is it, you know, well, if you just love, you'll get rid of fear. Well, then, that's good, but this is about knowing who loves you. This is about accepting who loves you. This person, read the whole chapter. It says, God is love. We have known the love of God. And if you know that he loves you, fear will leave, the torment will leave. And it says that in the day of judgment, I'm going to read it to you. We'll just go faster on the other ones. We're still doing pretty good. John 4. Okay. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Not judgment day. This is the day of judgment, meaning the day that Satan comes to accuse you, the day that Satan comes to tempt you, the day that he tries to get you to think in your mind, well, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. That day, because of who you are in God, that day, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day, because as he is, so are we. Well, how is he? Number one, he's love. Yes. But number two, he's victorious. Yes. So in that day of judgment, when you have to make a judgment, you can be victorious, because you know how much God the Father and Jesus, Holy Spirit, love you. Yeah. Find out how much God loves you. How deep is your love? I'm not talking about the Bee Gees song either. How deep is your love? It's a good one, but I can't get that high to sing it. Amen. Oh, go away. That's the devil tempting me to try to sing that. Praise the Lord. We love God. And you know, God loves us. And so it's not all just about you loving. Certainly, if you have your father's nature, love's going to come forth. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. But how deep is his love? How wide is his love? What is the length of his love? He'll reach out as far as he can to help people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, he loved you so much, he gave you Jesus. And if he gave you Jesus, the Bible says over in Romans 8 that he gave you all things with Jesus. All things. Oh, well, wait, we better translate things. The translation of the word things there is things. Be like Pastor Nancy. I like stuff. All right, praise the Lord. Number three, but we like Jesus better. Amen. Amen. Number three, be a David. Be a David. Be obedient. God requires obedience, even in the New Testament, church. Even though you're living in grace, God requires some obedience. It's not because you're trying to get him to accept you. It's because there's an enemy. And it's just like having a good GPS. You will avoid the snare. You will avoid a wreck. You will avoid a sharp turn if you obey God. Yeah. Do it this way. He's leading us all the time. You're not, ever since Jesus came, you're not trying to win God. If you accepted Jesus, you've got him. But you do want to stay out of the devil's path. Amen. And that's not legalism. So we want to be obedient. We want to be like David. The Bible says if you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Praise God. That means you're going to have the finest. Well, I don't need the finest. Just get rid of your false humility and get into real humility. If you get the finest, you might need to give it away tomorrow. Remember John Evanzini? How many? John Evanzini. So they used to pick on him because he was very prosperous. And he taught people how to get out of debt. And they said, well, some smart aleck said, well, if he'd just give away that watch on his arm, if he'd just sell that, he could feed a lot of people at the time, people in Russia. And, of course, that he just water off a duck's back. But they didn't know that that was his 11th watch. He had given 10 of them away. And he had also just sent something, what was it, 50,000 pounds of meat to Russia when this person was saying that. See, don't judge my living when you don't know about my giving.
That's so good.
And he could, the watches just kept coming back to him. Why? Because that's how God is. You can't outgive him. They were Rolex watches, so they were worth 50,000 pounds of meat. Praise the Lord. So, praise God. We're going to follow the GPS. Number four, we're talking about David here. This comes out of 1 Samuel 17. Remember past deliverances, not past failures. Get your mind off what didn't work before. David killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going down just like they did. That's what he said. And so you're going to bring to pass whatever you constantly look at. And if you're just looking at all the times you failed in the past, well, we never made it. We never could get over the hump. Well, then today's your day, because we're cutting you loose from your past. And you can start over and have success today. You need to be looking. You just need to start going forward. Cut loose from that. Remember, there's got to be something in your life that God did that was good. Got to be something. Got to be one thing you can think of. Oh, that's right. You woke up this morning.
Amen.
You made it to this good church this morning. Amen. You're surrounded by people who want God, not religion. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So Jesus said that he gave you an anointing, and the works that he did, you would do too. But that requires some obedience so you can step into it. And then number seven, once again, remember the good things that happened, not the bad. I'm trying to keeping you rolling on here. Okay? Remember the good stuff. You're obedient, and then you remember the good stuff. Do I need to back up and tell you all of them? Are you good? Okay. So I was doing two at a time. So the first one is don't be a Saul. Don't do what you think is best. Get a God idea. Number two is get rid of fear. Number three is be a David. Be obedient. Number four is remember past deliverance, not failures. Church, let me say this to you. If you didn't get anything out of this whole day, just take this right here. Hearing is the biggest factor in changing the course of a person's life. Hearing. That's why you should come to church. Because if you hear and hear and hear and hear, you will change the course of your life. It is crucial to changing. You didn't change until you heard something. It was a dark day after I was only 32 years old when both of my parents went to heaven. It was a dark day and everything else had gone wrong. But when I turned on the TV after praying, I prayed in the spirit because I remembered to do that. The Lord told me to. I turned on the TV and I heard this blue-eyed man. He said God was good, and something pinged in my spirit. And it changed everything in my life. It set me on a brand new course. I know that I know that I know that if I hadn't found that day, I wouldn't be doing this. I would have never answered my call, would have never met Pastor John. I would have just been, what do they say, lost as a goose in a hailstorm, something like that. Praise the Lord. All right, number five, speak to the mountain, not about it. Speak to the mountain, not about it. Discussing your problem over and over and over sows the problem seed into your heart again. And then you will keep producing a hundredfold of the problem. And it will continue to go over and over. How can I tell, I'm just saying I, how can anyone tell if you're not in faith? You want me to answer that for you? Here's a troubleshoot for you. I can tell that you're not in faith if every time you see me, you talk about that. Now, if you're talking about your vision, that's one thing. But if you're talking about, agree with us. Do you see that behavior? I need you to agree with me. What's that? You already know that's fear right there. You already know that someone's swirling. I just need to. Could you? Or calling up everybody. God, I need prayer. I can tell you're not in faith. That's real easy. It's quiet in the church today, but I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Come on, take it. Just go ahead and take it. There's two little words that people think are rude, but I'm going to tell you, shut up. That will help you a whole lot, church. Yeah. If you'll practice that, then when someone says, how you doing? Did you get your new surfboard? Nobody in here wants a surfboard. What else can we? Your new horse? Y'all pray. Tell it. That's not it. You get your new horse? Yep. Sure did. Prayed for it 6 weeks ago. Believed I received it. Sowed a seed for it. I've got it. Where is it? Right here. It's right here. Pregnant with a horse. Okay. In the spirit realm. That's how you're going to get the horse. That's how you're going to get the tractor. That's how you're going to get the truck. That's how you're going to get the house. That's how you're going to get whatever it is you're looking for. That's how you're going to get it. It's like, how y'all doing? Well, just go in. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Well, they're crazy over there. They're just so crazy over there. They're just saying they have this and saying they have that. That's what the Bible teaches. You call things that are not as though they were. He said he was the father of a multitude, and here we all are. We're a part of that multitude. So you're going to have to stop saying what you don't want. I have preached this for 19 years, and I have said for 19 years, don't call the dog if you want the cat. I just need you to. Could we? Man, could I? No? Yeah. But see, don't rush that. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Go get into the Word. Eat the Word. Study the Word. Well, did you get your healing? Well, Now there's complication here. We're going into battle. Well, I'll tell you, there is a place for battle. And it is in the spirit and it is in prayer. But find out where you are in it. Because once you get into faith about something, there's a place where it even in prayer, am I right? Even in prayer, there is a place where you go, oh, we got it.
Yeah.
There, where you know you got it. If this is going on perpetually, 27 years ago, we were believing that God would do such and such, and it never happened, I think I would go back and look at myself. And believe me, I've had to. So everybody look straight ahead. We've all been there in different areas. I'm trying to work this thing out with you. I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you. You just have to speak to that mountain. Not, oh, y'all just agree with me. Well, this is what you want. Larry, I need a two. I need you to agree with me that such and such and such and such. And this is what Larry should say to me. What scripture are you standing on? What does the word say? Da 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 da. All right, I'll be your two. Now, when it comes to people, you keep praying. When it comes to things, you can get them by faith. And you can get answers for people by faith. Y'all know where I'm digging at? I'm digging at that place where you know it's still not settled. People are not really, you're not in faith because you go to a faith church. You're in faith when you believe that you've got it. That's when you're in faith. I believe that this was my answer. This was my wisdom. This was my whatever it is. Okay. Am I done? Let's see. Number six, act when opportunity arises. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran to meet him. He didn't run the other way. He didn't hide. When opportunity arose, he went after it. When opportunity arises, go ahead and do it.
Amen.
It's not always that you're in a fight with it. We went to get a new car. And so, you know, we've already had the Ishmael car, and we didn't want any more in our life. So we always get in the car, drive it down the road, and pray. We drive it down the road. We're going down the road. And we did that with my car and with Deb's car and with the truck, everything. We've done it with every one of them. And so this was particularly the one that I drive right now. And so we're driving down the road, get down by the lake. And I said, okay, Lord, is this one it? And just as clear, he said, pull the trigger. So we went up there and wrote him a check and bought the car. It's sitting right out there, and y'all have seen it. It's a beauty. But so you can know when opportunity arises and it's the right one. You can know when opportunity arises, you can win somebody to Jesus. When opportunity arises, you can lay hands on them and they'll be healed. When opportunity arises, you'll have the favor you need to go to the next level in your life, at school, at college, with your teachers, whatever you guys are doing, wherever it is. When opportunity arises, opportunity is a big deal. Occasion is a big deal. When Saul was a good guy for a short time, Samuel said to him, you're going to go down here and you're going to have increase. You're going to have favor. You're going to meet a school of prophets. You're going to prophesy with them, and occasion will serve you. And did you know that a whole bunch of people turned around and said, we're going to go with that guy. We're going to go with you. I can't tell you how many times it has been said to me, we pick you. Occasion served me. I want a house on the lake with boat and sea-doo. Check. I want that house, that plantation house with 38 windows in it. Check. I can name you list after list of every time. I want this. I want that. I want a building. Check. I want the building paid off. Check. I want somebody who can sing real good. Check, check. I want a good drummer. Woo! Check, 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 check. I want a good guitar player. Check, check. I mean, we can just go on. Want people who believe something in the glory? Yes. Check, 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 check. Uh-huh. We got it going on, church. Opportunity has come to us. Now, we have a big opportunity right now with everything going on in the world. And a week ago, we actually got up here and released a fresh anointing to win people to Jesus. And what happened the next day, that evening, Deb won, and she said she would be the Spirit of the Lord, said she'd be the first one to do it. She won two people to the Lord. This weekend, Karina won her grandmother to the Lord. And guess what? After she won her to the Lord, grandmother went to heaven. That's where Karina is today, I'm sure. So God made occasion. He put a fresh anointing on Karina. And then out of all the family members, am I telling it right? They picked Karina to sit with grandmother. It could have been any of them. Occasion served Karina, who served God. Yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Your time's coming. There's someone out there waiting for you right now. They're out there, and they're going to come to Jesus. Amen. Number 7, and we'll close with this. See it all the way through. 1 Samuel 17:51. See it all the way through. David, he ran toward Goliath. He knocked him in the head with a rock, but then he took him out. See, that's what Samuel was trying to get Saul to do. Take the enemy all the way out so they can't get back in. There's something to that, church. You got to take the enemy out so they can't get back in. Take them out. Listen, the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. In those days, there were wars and people had to die because of things that were going on. But that was killing, not murder. Just in case you're sitting there freaking out over them killing everybody. There were just things that had to be done. Nobody likes it, but it's just true. Things happened. But they had to get the enemy out of the way. You got to get the enemy out of the way. Don't leave the job halfway done. Okay, everything's better now. So let's all just settle down and we'll just all be friendly and we'll go and we'll do this. No. 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 We're going to go for Bible. We're going to go for Bible. And we're going to finish the job. I'm not talking about us hating people. Okay, church. I'm talking about the devil here. Don't get off on the wrong trail. What's she talking about? I'm talking about making sure you don't open any doors, anything you don't need to open. Finish the job. Sometimes it's hard. But you have to. We got a word this morning. Said the room was cleared out. Sweep out the room, close the door, and don't go back that way again. What does that mean? That means something is happening where there's something finished. And we can sweep out and move on, and we're not going back to that chapter. Don't go back to the old dark chapter. Grace will see you through.
But my old friends are over there. There's all my old friends over there. They're not good.
You can love your friends. You can love your friends without spending time all in a circle of drugs or whatever they're doing, or bickering or gossiping or talking against people or whatever it is. You can still love them. Amen. You do have a family that you can't get rid of. You're going to have to spend some time with them sometime. Even if they are gossipers or whatever. But you can be sweet to them, but you don't have to get in the middle of it. I'm going to give Jeremy a commercial right now. I was listening to him this morning. Did anybody hear it? Wasn't it good? He said that Miriam and Aaron got together, and they said, hey, this is a safe place. Come on in. You know, we love Moses, but we love him, but you just have to hear it. It was so great. People were laughing so hard. We really love Moses, but we're in a safe place, right? So I can just tell you how I feel about Moses. We're in a safe place, but we can talk about Pastor, right? I mean, I love Pastor, but we're in a safe place, so I know I can talk to you about Pastor. In the comfort of our own home, we should be able to just talk about Pastor or whoever. Everybody's real quiet. Well, praise the Lord. So, but it was just so cute because he told the whole story and he told it so good. Well, you know, I am the Levi I am the high priest. You're the high priest, and I got a song after we came. He just builds up the whole story. It's so cute. You got to watch it. But it was so true, because God said, come here. All three of y'all come out here. Moses, you come out here, and y'all two get out here. And they're thinking, told you, promotion's coming. Well, you know what happened. Miriam, yeah, she got leprosy. And the Lord had mercy on her and healed her because Moses spoke up for his sister. But they didn't like it because he was married to that Ethiopian. You know, Ethiopian? I mean, it was just so cute. You got to watch. But it just really stuck to me. What a point to make. You know, just this is a safe place. We can talk about people here. Maybe not. Who's listening? Devils? Devils are listening. Angels are listening. Holy Spirit's listening.